Let us all pray. Blessed Heavenly Father, our Lord and the Savior Jesus the Christ, thank you for this day, thank you for this time, thank you for this hour. Oh Father, it's been wonderful, oh God, to come here. And Lord, after this 2 years, oh Father, Lord, here there is a wonderful feet washing service, and we all have come, oh God, before your holy presence to take the communion of God. Remembering your death, remembering your body which was torn apart for us, remembering that blood which was shed for us, oh Father. Thank you, Lord, for this brotherly love, for renewing the love back again in the church, oh God. For bringing back that first love, oh Father Jesus. Oh God, the church requires the brotherly love, brotherly kindness. And that is very, very important for us, oh Father. Before you come, oh God, it is a brotherly love which will be restored back in the church. And I pray, oh Father, in Jesus' name, that you have started to do your marvelous work, oh Father. And as we all are gathered for your word, oh Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you may bless my lips, oh Father, and let the words proceed out of my mouth with grace, and let the hearers, oh God, have the grace, oh Father, to listen and take it into their hearts, oh Father. Oh God, we commit each and every one into their hands. Be with us, guide us, strengthen us. In Jesus' name, I ask this prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. You may all be seated. Praise be to God, and it was my desire to have communion with the saints in prophetic revelation. On the day we already had a plan that I should be coming over to Singapore, and when Brother Zoel Gan and Brother Prasanna gave me the first invitation, you know, I was very happy that day. I had it in my mind. I said, if God's will permits us to have a communion, I should have a communion with the brethren. And when I came over here, I was asking Brother Prasanna and Soul whether we'll be having a communion service. And they said, yes, we are having a plan. And I think in 2023, April month 25, our dear brother, the apostle, Brother Richard Gann, passed away to be with the Lord. And it's been 2 years since that time. I think the church has not had a communion, and now, today, it's such a blessed day that each and everyone have gathered with unity, so we may have partake in this communion. So we have to keep our hearts clean. The beautiful thing here is, in our place, we just wash one person's feet. Because everybody have to go homes, go to their respective home. And but here it was like five brothers. I washed five brothers' feet. And that was really wonderful. It's a very good example. It is not just you need to wash just one person. You can wash as long as time permits. Praise the Lord. If we have a chance, we can wash all the brothers' feet, and sisters will wash all the sisters' feet. That is a wonderful thing. So I give the Lord all glory and praise. And I think this is my last Sunday here. And I will be going this week by Friday, and it is such a blessed time. I just remember I have to speak a few words regarding Brother Gann's ministry and what kind of impact it had in my life personally. Maybe I'll take a few minutes, just 5 to 10 minutes, then we will go to the message by 7:30. You know, I was caught up in the Branhamite circle. I don't hate the followers of Brother Branham, because when I use the word Branhamites, some of them listening to that, they get very angry. But these followers of Brother Branham, one of the pastor who actually told me the truth about the Elijah ministry, the restoration ministry, and I had just come out of the Pentecostal church, and the Lord was leading me very wonderfully. And that was the time when I came to the message. About 10 months, this pastor, this minister, he was an evangelist, he was a young man. He told me the truth, and after that, when I asked him, "Brother, I want to know about the Holy Ghost," he said, "Brother, you have to read Brother Branham's book. Brother Branham's book is the Holy Ghost." So, I was so young at the time. I already had come from the Pentecostal movement, which was going into a very confused condition. So I told, I believed his words, and I started to read Brother Branham's book. I don't know, maybe at that point of time, I may have read about 250 to 300 books, because in English we had access to English books. So in Tamil, translations were only 100 or 150. I was comfortable reading in English, so I think I should have finished about 250 to 300 books for nearly 10 months. And I have gone in fasting to a hill on a mountain where I read Seven Seals book. For 3 days I fasted. I was staying inside a cave, I and another brother. We were all alone. staying inside the cave, a very cold place. In fasting, I completed reading Seven Seals book. But still, I knew that something is missing. You know, reading Brother Branham's book, it is not wrong to read the books of men of God. But we should know that, you know, we give more importance to the Bible. We spend more time reading the Word of God and getting closer to Christ. But reading the books, I just went on reading and reading and reading. In a period of time, I forgot to read my Bible. I didn't even know where my Bible was. And that was the dangerous ground. And then the doctrines of Branham Christ started to come to our area. There were brothers and sisters embracing Branham Christ. They started to worship Branham as Christ. And, you know, my mind was getting confused. I said, "Lord, what is this? This is the truth, but what is happening?" And I was not happy with the evangelist in later stages, due to some reasons which I don't want to speak here. And my heart was seeking, I said, "Lord, there is something more. I feel I have come so close, but yet I am very far." So it came to a time, a season of time, where books will be in our hands, and we young people used to, like, there was a competition between us. Who will read this book? Complete it first. So, you know, like, so we sit in the night and we talk about the things. And to a season, it was good. There is nothing wrong in Brother Branham's book, actually. There is nothing wrong in his teachings or whatever message he brought. But the extremism of thoughts, it enters your heart. You go to a place where you feel there is no need for you to read the Bible. And that is the time Brother Gann's book, not me, I did not write to Brother Gann. I didn't even know that there was a brother called Gann, but there was some other brother, a senior brother in the faith, who had written to Brother Gann for some of his books, and he had sent him about three sets of, I think, altogether 20 books, three sets of book, with 20 books in each set. And two brothers told brother, "I have taken one set and one is given to another brother. There is one remaining." And in that time, I was the only person in the church who knew to read English. So they said, "Brother, we would like to give it to you." And I think that is when I really, once I started to read his books, some of the books like Logos, Original Sin, and The Holy City, New Jerusalem, I said, "Oh, this is something." So I immediately contacted Brother Gann. In those days, we had to write letters. We did not have emails and things like that. It was, I'm speaking this in 93. So we contacted Brother Gann through he sent a letter to him, and it takes about 15 days, and Brother Gann did not answer us immediately, and I was just waiting, what happened? The minister has not answered us. And I think after 2 months, I received a reply back, along with a cassette. In fact, when we wrote the letter to him, I had asked him about 27 questions from the Bible. So, Brother Gann had sent a tape, you know, those cassette players in old times. All of us people, 50 and above, we know about it. The cassette player, you know, those cassette player, Brother Gann had answered us in the cassette. And he had answered all my questions, nearly 27 questions. I and my friend, there was another friend of mine, we had actually asked him the questions regarding the book of Revelation. So many things, you know, so many questions which we had, which we couldn't find it in Brother Branham's books. So Brother Gann had answered them so beautifully. And he said, you know, you guys have asked me nearly 27 questions, so I cannot write it down. And so it's better that I speak in a cassette and I'll send it to you. And after that, I had asked Brother Gann to connect me to some of the pastors who was associated with him in India. And that is how I came in connection with my wife's family, his wife's pastor, and my father-in-law, Brother Valerian Sarav in Mumbai. So when I went to Mumbai, that's the time when Brother Gann was visiting us, and it was a surprise for me. In fact, I had gone to meet the people whom Brother Gann had told me to meet them. He said, you can go and meet this pastor from Mumbai. He gave the names of the ministers. And when I went there, actually I was put up with my wife's family to stay there until I'm there in Mumbai. And it was a surprise for me that Brother Gann's convention, I think the first convention, in 1993, in Nasrapur, the convention is taking place, and it was a five-day convention. So all 5 days, that's the first time I'm going. So when I went, you know, I got a chance to sit next to Brother Gann, and that was something great for me in those days. Because it was like, oh wow, this is one minister whose book I've read, a man of God, I'm getting a chance to sit with him. So all through the journey from Mumbai till a place called Nasrapur, it should be about 100 kilometers, something around close to 100 kilometers. I'm not sure about it. So I was going on asking him so many questions. And then suddenly he said, hey, stop asking me questions, okay? I have to save my voice. I have to preach for 5 days. And as usual in his tone. So I said, I kept quiet. And it somehow, the situation was arranged for me by God that, you know, Brother Gann has to, when we had to stay in the convention center, Brother Gann has to go to his room through my room. That was the only way. I said, praise be to God. So every time he goes, I stop him to talk something. And, you know, and that was a wonderful time. And I was only 18 or 19 years old. So that period was the time when the convention was so divine, so much of blessings were there. I think that is the time Brother Gann is introducing his chart, Eternity to Eternity. And before that, there were 150 people called, and I think most of them were preachers who were called from South India, from different parts of India. And the remaining people were, they were the church members of my wife's church. You know, so what happened was, there was that 5 days, I would say, after that, I've never seen any convention which has been so blessed. I've attended so many conventions. I will not say it was not blessed, but that one was something special. It so happened that after the 5 days, I think on the last day, Brother Gann was inspired by the Spirit to speak about the cross of Jesus Christ.
That was the first time everyone were hearing the message, hearing that truth about the suffering of Jesus Christ with tears in their eyes. And each and everyone were crying. And when the service got over and we all had to say goodbye, everyone were hugging each other and literally crying like babies. That is why I'm saying I've never seen any other convention like that. For so many years, I've attended many conventions, but I've never seen that. So much of divine love. And that was the time when I realized the Lord has called me for ministry. But I was a 19-year-old boy. And I've not gone to Bible college. I said, what should I do now? Then I went to Brother Gann. Then I told him, Brother Gann, you know, I have something to talk to you. So I told him, Brother, you know, I feel that the Lord is calling me, but I don't know how to understand my call. You just have to guide me. So Brother Gann sat with me and counseled me certain things. And after that, he told me, Shadrach, when I go back to Singapore, I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to go and fast for 3 days. You fast for 3 days and God will prove your work. So I was very happy. That was the first time I came to meet Brother Gann, his ministry and his teachings, eternity to eternity. You know, in India, even many of the followers of Brother Branham are teaching from his eternity to eternity chart. Only thing, they don't use the name Brother Gann. I know pastors where I have gone to some of the end time ministers' churches, and when I preach and they ask me about my ministry, they know that I was associated with Brother Gann for a long time. They ask me, Brother, you know something? For our teaching, we use Brother Gann's chart. I said, so they take out the chart, logos, book, and every book everybody is having. Only thing, they don't use the name Brother Gann. You see, so many in the entire message they follow. And also that, you know, that, what should I say, that bride picture, which, what do you call it, brother? You know, with the dress of the word, a garment, word bride. You know, every entire message people have that in their church. And wherever I go, I tell them, do you know from where this has come? Do you know from where this thing has come? Some, they don't know. I said, this is done by Brother Gann. But many don't know. But many end time people, they are using that. You see, so Brother Gann, I would say, he was the first person to bring the fivefold ministry truth to India. We know that the Pentecostal people had their own fivefold ministry. The denomination have their own fivefold ministry. But after Brother Branham's ministry, many people, many entire message people were just holding on to the books and they had no ministry. So it was in 95. After 93, I went back home. I understood my call. I prayed. Just like what Brother Gann told me, 3 days I fasted, I prayed, and it was like I received confirmation. Because many souls started to be added. Whenever I go out to preach, so many, we have baptized so many people from Roman Catholic Church, so many from Pentecostal movement. So it was like, you know, I just go and speak. And when I was 19-year-old, like I was a small boy, I was scared even to talk. But even my words, which were weak, had the power of God in that, you know, that people used to come. And it was like a confirmation for me. So in 2 years' time, from 93 to 95, in 2 years' time, my church had about 70 people. And it was packed. We had a very small room and people used to be very hard even for people to sit inside. And that's the time I called Brother Gann in 95 to my city, Coimbatore. And I invited 150 pastors along with my church people. There were 150 pastors, and we had 3 days convention. I think Brother Gann had, along with him, there was one more brother from Malaysia, George Matthew. Yeah, George Matthew, he had come to our place. And the 3 days convention, that was the time when Brother Gann opened up the truth about fivefold ministry. And let me tell you something, I was there watching. Many ministers, for the first time, they are opening their scriptures and so surprised, talking to each other, looking at the scripture. You know, so that was the first time people started to understand that there is a fivefold ministry and we need to work. You know, until then, entire message people did not do evangelism. Most of them were sitting at their home thinking the predestinated seed will come and fall at our feet. That was the kind of thoughts they had. But fivefold ministry is something you need to go and evangelize. You need to go out. And I believe that was a very wonderful time. The 3 days convention we had. Then I took him to another place called Ooty. You know, it's a very cold place. It's a hill station. And there we had 1 day meeting. And after that, we had very wonderful connection. So Brother Gann was very happy. But there was some mistake which I did. The mistake was I did not commit my life fully for the ministry. God was calling me for a full-time ministry and I was delaying the process. And that is when some of the problems which took place that you people know, that man called Jerry Fernandez, because God was very angry with me. And the Lord really wanted to chastise me and make me understand and bring me back to the work. So that's one time when Brother Gann came. And then I think after we came out of Jerry Fernandez, 3 years, it means I never rejected the teachings or, you know, went out from the truth. The only thing is the ministry of Jerry Fernandez was going into a extreme of taking people into the Old Testament laws, Old Testament teachings. And, you know, when women have their monthly problem, they cannot come to church. They cannot touch the Bible. You know, all the Old Testament laws were being followed. So that was the kind of thing. So it took nearly 3 years for us to understand and then come out of that. But after I came out, once again, I believe I went to, I went to a convention where Brother Gann was coming. I went back to Mumbai. And, my wife's family, they told me Brother Gann is coming. And I was very, very happy. So I went and met Brother Gann in the hotel room where he stayed. Then I told him all that had happened these 3 years. And it was like Brother Gann was very sad. He said, okay, Shadrach, I knew that you were very strong, but something, okay, everybody has to go through a phase. This is something which has happened to you. Then he prayed over me. 2 days before Brother Gann could come, I was there in Mumbai. I actually went, I said, my church was completely broken in Coimbatore. So I locked the church. It was a very small church at the time. I locked the church. I kept all my things inside. I'll go to Mumbai. I'll never come back to Coimbatore again. So that was my intention. I and my mother took our train. We went. We said, we'll find some job. I said, Lord, if the ministry work is so hard, please don't call me. I don't want to do the ministry. Whoever comes, I'm ready to give that church, little church which we have built. You know, I just want to do some work. And then I will do the, I will help the ministry. I'll support the ministry. That was in my mind. But the more I try to work, the more problem, you know, comes to me. You try to do so many things. Nothing worked out in Mumbai. And Mumbai is a place like anybody, even a small chai, a hotel, you put a roadside, a tea shop, you can earn a lot of money. And in that place, everything is becoming a failure. And for nearly 10 months, 11 months, you know, I said, what's going on? So I became so upset with myself. I said, I think I should die. That's the best way to end up everything. End up this misery. And then it was a very busy market where my wife is staying. Actually, they told me, I think my mother-in-law, at that time we were not married. My wife's father was a very good friend of mine. I think they told me to go and get something, buy and come. Now, I'm going there and the market is so busy, crowded market. People are selling fish. People are selling vegetables. And this side, you know, the auto, our Indian auto rickshaws and the bus, everything is going. And it is not like Singapore, calm and quiet. Those places are so congested. And as I'm walking on the road, tears are rolling down from my eyes. I said, Lord, let that bus. There was a bus coming. I said, Lord, I cannot commit suicide. So I'm going to stand close to the road. I want that bus to come and hit me and kill me. Take me, Lord. It's better for me to die than to live in confusion. I don't know what's happening. Whatever I try to do, nothing is working out. And, some of the brothers could not understand. The brothers in Mumbai, they could not understand what's going on with me. Because I myself did not understand. And so I said, Lord, I'm just standing half on the road, said, Lord, I'm tears, I'm crying like a baby. I didn't even care who's standing. I said, let this bus come and hit me and kill me, Lord. Finish me off. I cannot commit suicide, but you take me. It will be the Shadrach met with an accident and died. Finish. In that busy street, in that busy market, there a voice comes back. Comes so clear. It was like everything became silent around me. The whole world is silent. I'm standing alone in one place and the voice comes very clearly. Go back to Coimbatore. Go back to the place where you suffered. I will lift you up from that place. It was very clear. All my tears, in a moment of time, my tears stopped. And like, there is a great joy in my heart. I said, what happened? And the voice is so clear. And I go there. Go back to my wife's home. I did not tell anybody about this. I went on praying to God. After 2 days, I go to meet Brother Gann. Brother Gann has come. They are going to have another convention, 3 days convention. And when I went to meet Brother Gann, Brother Gann heard all my story. He said, Shadrach, I would like, that time, I got this herpes. I had a lot of pain near my eyes. So Brother Gann said, oh, this herpes, you're having herpes. Okay, anyway, I'll pray for you. And he actually laid his hands to pray for the herpes. But he started to prophesy. You know what he prophesied? That's the surprise. He said, you don't have a work here. Go back to Coimbatore. Go back to the place where you suffered. I will lift you from that place. Exactly what the Lord spoke to me on the road. My eyes were filled with tears. I was crying. I said, this is a second witness. Then when Brother Gann finished praying, he saw me crying. He said, what happened? I said, brother, this is the same voice I heard. This one, I told you everything, but this thing I never told you. And now God has confirmed it through your mouth. So that was the time. So when I decided to go for the ministry, some of the brothers, they thought, Shadrach, now what is going to go for ministry? Already there was a big problem. He went through a big problem with Jerry Fernandez's ministry. So now he's going back again. He's not doing the Lord's will. Oh, Shadrach wants to go because he's after money. He's lazy. He doesn't want to do the worldly work. So now he's saying that he wants, to go to the ministry. All kind of things came. Many people even, gave wrong reports to Brother Gann. And for a long time, though I went back to Coimbatore, I started my work. Brother Gann was very silent. The beauty of Brother Gann, he never judged. He knew. He said, I know this person has something, but God, I pray that you will prove it. So in 2004, we had meetings. I had invited Brother Gann, and it was like a restarting of my work. I started my work in 2004, and Brother Gann was there, and we had about 5 meetings, wonderful meetings we had, in different places. And after that, I believe Brother Gann visited us in 2009. That's the last time that he visited us. So what happened was, in all this time, in 2014, we met Brother Gann in a convention. Between 2010 and 2013, there was no contact with Brother Gann, except for sometimes email, how are you, brother? How are things? And he said, yes, everything is fine. So I started my work because more and more complaints have gone to Brother Gann that I'm cheating, I don't have a ministry. So many things, a lot of false allegations. And I decided I'm not going to speak anything outside. I said, I'm not going to prove anything. Let my words prove. If God has called me for the ministry, God will prove it. So I don't need to prove to anybody. And the Lord told us to, put in our hearts to write a blog, and my wife, by the grace of God, he gave me a wife who can write beautifully. And every ministry, whatever I went, she wrote it down, recorded, we recorded it with proper photo reports. We did the work, we made a blog. He said, people should know what I'm doing. That's all. So we never asked for offerings. You know, send your offerings to this account number. Nothing. You will not find it anything in anywhere. Because said, people are bringing false allegation that I'm after money. Okay, now God has to prove it. So we kept quiet and we just did our work. And that was a very dark times when I lost my child, my wife was about to die, and so many things happened. We continued our work. She recovered, and after that we continued our work. I think in 2013 or 14, Brother Gann was invited by somebody else to a place called Velur in Tamil Nadu. This man was a businessman, and he did not have a proper attitude. But somehow, I think he called Brother Gann, because Brother Gann knew his pastor many years back. So Brother Gann said, okay, now the pastor is no more. The young generation wants to call me. So Brother Gann took up the invitation and he came there. It so happened that's the time when we actually send our blog to Brother Gann. All the work which has been done, and he has read it. One good thing about Brother Gann, he never thought that he's the only person, he's the only apostle. Like many people were calling them to the chief apostle. He never thought. He always used to look, read, study. When we write something, he saw that he personally replied it. That was the character of Brother Gann. That is one thing we all admired, you know. So Brother Gann read all our blog, our report, all our testimony. And in 2014, we go to the convention place where Brother Gann is staying in a hotel room. I went with my family, my wife, my mother-in-law, my mother, and two other brothers from the church. And that's when Brother Gann hugged my wife, hugged me, and he was really crying. He said, Shadrach, for all the things that people spoke against you, see, here, when I read your report, tears rolled down my eyes. I said, I have been praying for this. I said, Lord, if you have really called this boy, you will have to, Lord, prove it. And I had been praying and waiting patiently for God to prove your work. Said, I never judged you. I was quiet. I said, so many allegations against you. Many people said so many things, but I kept quiet. I waited. And now when I read the blog, really my eyes, I really cried. I said, God bless you. And so, and that is how, you know, I got more close to Brother Gann. And from that time on, Brother Gann had, I think after that, Brother Gann invited me here in 2017 to Singapore. And when my ministry started, Brother Gann was like a big pillar of support behind. You see, that is one thing which, so from the time, from 93 till Brother Gann passed away, I think in the last moments of his life, one year before Brother Gann passed away, my wife saw a dream that Brother Gann is dying. And I didn't know what to say. I never told him this matter. I kept quiet. So how can I tell him? The dream was very clear. She told me, I'm seeing a dream. I'm crying. And Brother Gann is dead. They are saying Brother Gann has passed away. And I'm crying 1 year before Brother Gann passed away. Then we were continuing to pray for him. Because we always want a man of God to be alive. You know, he has been like our spiritual father to me especially. So I was praying, Lord, heal him. In Lebanon, when I went to Lebanon in 2023, that is the time I saw Brother Gann. We decided to call Brother Gann, I and Pastor Pure. And when we called Brother Gann, he took the phone, but his voice was very low. He said, Shadrach, I may not be able to speak for a long time. Then I told, before going to Lebanon, I had already sent him a note saying, Brother, I'm going to Lebanon. They have called me. He was very, very happy. Then after Pastor Pierre spoke to him, then I took the phone. I went alone. I said, Brother Gann, I pray that you will live for another 100 years. This is the first time I open up the matter to him. I pray that you will be alive for 100 years. But in case the Lord takes you, if it is the will of the Lord to take you, don't ever think you have left something undone or you have not completed your work. I said, you have labored so hard in so many different places. One of the fruit of your work is me. I said, believe that. Because I know even after you go, the work is going to continue. See, you may go, God may take you, but the work will continue. I said, I'm one of the fruit in that labor, that hard labor that you labored for the word of God. And here I'm standing. I said, God brought me to Philippines because nobody recommended me to Lebanon. Nobody recommended me to Philippines. He said, I received a call from Philippines from Pastor Roderick Amparado and Brother Pierre, his son Jean-Pierre. He called me to Lebanon. I said, I have received calls and I've come here. It means God has a work for me. So Brother Gann, be sure that we will continue the work, whatever God has given. You know, he said, I know Shadrach, I know that. And I think that was the last. And after that, I was in the Philippines in the same year, in the month of April, when Brother Gann passed away and I couldn't come. But the point is, you know, Brother Gann had been misunderstood by many because of his straightforwardness. If I say something, you people will laugh, but you can laugh. Last time when I had come, you know, our Indian rubber time, only our, we have this Indian rubber time, you know. We just take things, okay, come on, what's going to happen? So, Brother Gann, one day before I came in Yushin Church, he brought me to the church. He told me how to take the metros, and he purchased a card for me. And he said, keep this card, huh? I'm not going to come tomorrow. You will have to come by your see it proper. You have to see everything properly, okay? I said, okay, brother. So he, from Yushin, from Brother Karthi's home, he took me, brought me to, I mean, from Brother Karthi's home. He's not in Yushin, right? Some other place. So from there, he brought me to Yushin, showed me everything. The next day, I entered, 10 o'clock, I'm supposed to come to the church. I entered at 10:02. In India, this is not late. We are on time. We are perfectly on time. So I entered inside, and it was like, I saw suddenly everybody was sitting. I felt little uneasy. And I could see Brother Gann just straight like that. And Shadrach, you're late by 2 minutes. Oh my. You know, some people misunderstand. But it's a correction which I took as a father is correcting a son. Because that is Singapore, there's a standard for Singapore. In India, I can be as I want. Now, if I have to take, Brother Gann insulted me, I will never come back to Singapore. Right? If I think, oh, Brother Gann insulted me. No. He wanted to correct something in me. I took it in a good way. It is how, see, that was the problem with Brother Gann's ministry. Many people thought, why is this man straightly attacking me? But he had something to give because he lived in that quality of life. That's the thing. He had all the rights to correct because he lived that life. So he wanted the people who he had trained or the people who were under his ministry or, you know, the people whom he loved, he wanted them to come to that standard. And many people misunderstood Brother Gann for many things. You know, there were so many things. If you have to point out at every small thing and think, oh, Brother Gann, he insulted me here, he insulted me there. No, it is not like that. But he was a man with so much of love. Because there were times when I speak to Brother Gann, sometimes I said, Brother Gann, you have another side. Why don't you come out open with this? I've asked him many times. Huh? He said, you know, sometimes you need to come out open with this. You have this character also. He was so loving. The way, especially he loved the people who love God. And who really want to stand for God. For that people, Brother Gann has always stood like a pillar. When people are wasting time, Brother Gann never wasted time with those people. That's the point. See, these people are not sincere or serious for God. What am I supposed to do there? I have other work to do. So the places where I have gone, where Brother Gann's ministry has been there and blessed, there are many people today in India who have really matured in the faith because of Brother Gann's ministry and teachings. Many brothers and sisters. So I believe that today, though the man of God is not here among us, I believe very strongly it had a very big impact. His ministry had a very big impact in my life. And today I'm here if God, because you know, God always places some people in our lives. And the man whom God placed in my life was Brother Gann. That is what I should say. You know, he was like an angel to me, standing and always watching many things. We have had our, we have had our fights also. You know, sometimes, because Brother Gann said something, I'll get angry and 3 days I'll not talk to him. Then he'll send me a message, hey, what are you doing? Why didn't you call me? I told you this for this reason. No, he will come after us. This was one thing which I saw in Brother Gann. So I believe he was a man who was a testimony when he lived. And let me tell you, in end time circles, nobody has written books like Brother Gann has written. I'm not speaking this to boast, but this is the truth. We know so many ministers, but the number of books that he has written and such deep teachings, you know, Brother Gann's ministry was futuristic. He wrote certain things for our days. Now this new generation, they are able to understand some things which Brother Gann wrote in 1980s. You see, the people in his time, they did not understand. So his messages were very deep. And all those who have really studied it properly and learned it properly, I believe God is using them in different parts of the world. Praise the Lord. And here you can see one prasanna also is sitting here. He was from the Pentecostal movement. He came, joined Brother Gann's ministry, and now Lord has kept him a leader here in this church. So, you see, like that I can point out to many people around. So, blessed be the name of God that God gave us. We lived under a real man of God who really worked sincerely, did God's will, and now he is resting in the bosom of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Because all his life, you know, I would say Brother Gann made things easy for us. He did the fighting and we are doing the harvest. You know, he took up the sword and all through his life he was having a war, trying to tell people clearly to come back to the Word. You see, not to follow some man, not to follow, be, you know, look at a man as a hero, but come to the Word and just look at Jesus. That was his message. So I believe a few of us, or many of us around the world, people who have been blessed by Brother Gann's ministry, and today let him rest peacefully in the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ, while the work, what has been given to the ministers around, who have understood, who have the burden of the Lord, we need to continue the work of God. Hallelujah. So may God bless you all. Praise be to God for this wonderful time. There are many things to share, but I think this should be enough. So praise be to God. We still have a communion service. So I don't know, I had prepared a very big message, but let me see according to the time, and when I can look into your hearts, your mind is becoming tired, I will stop it. Okay, today's message, I want to give a kind of warning. As we are living in the times of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's communion, so we need to take our spiritual lives more seriously. Now, what is started today should turn to become a revival in prophetic revelation. That is my burden. I think that's a burden of Brother Presley, Brother Paul, Brother Zoel, Brother Henry, and the rest of all the elders in the church. This should turn to become a revival. We are waiting for a revival. So I want to give a message to give a kind of warning to the brothers and sisters of the time and season, so you can all prepare your hearts before God every day. So let's go to the book of Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Yeah, somebody can read it. Brother, 34 to 36. Luke chapter 21. 34 to 36.
And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.
Praise be to God. So today my message is watch and pray. That is the title of my message, watch and pray. Jesus Christ is giving a warning to his disciples. Whatever has been spoken in the Bible, everything has been spoken for the children of God. Now Jesus in the book of Luke 21 and Matthew 24, all these things are connected together. It's the same, one and the same things which happened on Mount Olivet, where Jesus was giving them some warnings about the times and seasons that we are living. So now, the Lord knows the future. Our God knew. He's a prophet. He had the prophetic spirit. He's a prophecy, right? Just like yesterday we saw. He's the fullness of prophecy. Everything is pointing out to him. So the Lord knew the future. The Lord knew what is going to be in the future. You see, the devil already tempted him in the Garden of Eden and said, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Just fall at my feet and worship me. Do you think the devil must have shown him the horse chariots and the donkeys and the bullocks of his time? No. When he said, I will give you the kingdoms of the world, he said he wanted to make Jesus Christ the Antichrist. That is what I should say. He took Jesus to the future world. He brought Jesus to our time. You see, the devil was showing him he was not just showing him the Roman time in his days when Rome was ruling the world, but the devil brought him to our days. You know, to this technology world. And Jesus saw all these things. And the devil said, I will give you everything. All these kingdoms. Just fall at my feet and worship me. So the Lord was very, very clear. It was revealed to him by the Father what is going to be the future. The Lord knew what will happen to the believers in the future. So the Lord is giving a warning. He said, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Right? Or it can say carousing in the Bible. Now surfeiting, drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. Now the future is going to be terrible. That is what the Lord saw. The Lord, if He's giving the believers a warning, it means He's trying to say even believers can get caught into that snare which is going to come. The 35th verse is, for as a snare shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now snare is like you're not aware. The bird is not aware that a net has been placed for it. When somebody is going for hunting, The animal is not aware the hunter is waiting somewhere, hiding. And that's the reason the Lord told, has given us a warning, especially these scriptures are for our times. These scriptures have more meaning for our times. Now, what is self-eating? Now, it's a Greek word like komos. Now, it signifies, I will just read it. It's presented as a lifestyle of indulgences and moral laxity, contrasting with the virtues of self-control, which is expected of believers. Now, it is like it goes beyond the people's thoughts and the mind in today's time, excess of use of anything of the world is self-eating. We all need to have a limitation in our lives. That is why he is using these words. Then he is saying drunkenness. Now, drunkenness in the Bible is usually, for example, Noah was drunk. Now, what is that he was drunk? Maybe he was literally, he was drinking wine. But this does not just speak about drinking of more of wine. This has something to do with your spiritual life. Now, what has to do with your spiritual life is Noah. There's a life of Noah before the flood and after the flood. Before the flood, we see a man obedient to God. After the flood, we see a man sleeping, drunken, and naked. And because of that, a big sin was committed. And a big curse came upon Ham. Right? We see these things. A man who preached righteousness, a man who preached about God, a man who preached about the coming judgment. Now he's a man relaxing, sleeping. It means this drunkenness is speaking about the backsliding state of believers. At one point, surfeiting is speaking about excess of indulgence. And they start to lack moral life. Slowly there is a compromise on holiness. Slowly there is a compromise on righteous living. Slowly there is a compromise for what they once stood. So the Lord is giving us this warning. So the next one, in drunkenness we see a Noah who was such a righteous man before the flood, and after the flood we see him go to a backsliding state. So this is also the condition. Many believers backslide in their hearts. You may be part of a church, you may be part of a church which is preaching the truth, and yet your hearts can be so far away from God. That was the condition of Noah. Oh my goodness. And then the next one is cares of this life. Now when you say cares of this life, Jesus, when he spoke in the parable of the sower who went and sowed the seed in different ground, one on rock, one on on the way, and one on thorny ground. And Jesus speaks about the thorn as the cares of this life. Too much of caring about the things of this world. Too much of caring than what should be. That is why we believers cannot abuse the world. But we believers can go to the world and take what is necessary from the world according to the scriptures. But you cannot become a worldly person. Being part of the world and caring too much of this world. When it comes to caring, that it is like, you know, this will, for example, it is like the worldly anxieties, worries, and the concerns that can distract from a focus of God and His Word. You go to an extent that you care so much of the world that you're distracted to grow in the Spirit. So that is why the Lord made this a very clear. These three things are just like the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is same like that. So the Lord is giving us, He's telling now this will come like a snare. Unaware. Right? In the beginning stages, we all took mobile phone just to talk. Then comes the internet. Then comes social media. You know, then comes one after another. There are so many apps which are coming, which has completely distracted man. Nobody knows. We every one of us are carrying a Judas in our hands. I don't know when this rascal is going to show me, betray me. That is the truth. Each one in your hands, you are holding a Judas. It means we are being monitored. The rulers of this world, they know where we are, what we are. I don't know. Even if you don't have a live YouTube channel, still they can find out. Technology has gone so far. The rulers of the world, they are living in an age where they can monitor everybody. They call it as Big Brother. Big Brother is looking at everyone. Big Brother is monitoring everyone. Everyday lifestyle is being monitored. So now, that is why the Lord is saying in the time, in the last days, there will be so much of worldliness. He's putting, the thing is summed up in one word, that there will be so much of worldliness that even the believers can be taken into that net. And that is why the Lord is saying, watch. See, look at the 35th verse. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. What is the meaning of whole earth? Even believers are there. It does not say whole earth except believers. Whole earth means even the believers are taken into that. This technology world has carried everybody inside to another world. And that is why the Lord wants us to wake up now. This is just like the state of the disciples sleeping. When Jesus was on the mountain praying, disciples were sleeping. When Jesus was in the garden of Gethsemane praying, the disciples were sleeping. So time of sleep. It even says the foolish and the wise virgin slept. It means this is a kind of sleep. People were not aware another world was being created. A world like a snare, a world like a net, that everybody are going to be caught into that net. Even believers were not aware of that. Technology was sounding so nice to our ears in the beginning. Oh, even email came, oh, something new. You know, I was so scared to even start an email. I said, everybody in the world will know it. Everybody will know me in the world. No, I don't want to be known by everybody in the world. I had such simple life. I did not know what email was. Then email came. Then after that we see all the new technologies come. Everybody are caught into that. Now God wants us to wake up. Technology has taken our time from God. I think we all are guilty for that. Every one of us, at some point, for something, you are guilty for that. It has taken more of your time. The time that we are supposed to give to God, believers are not able to give because of this technology life. And I think everyone, Jesus was speaking about technology here. Because he said, this is what is going to happen. Though he did not use the word technology, by reading that we understand. It is speaking about our time. So we are guilty. This generation of believers are guilty. It stopped believers from praying. Believers are supposed to pray. Believers are supposed to spend their time in reading the Word of God. Now I come here to preach for 1.5 hours. But Sister Joyce, Brother Henry, my wife is a witness. I am spending from morning whole day. I have to spend. I have to spend 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours thinking what message I'm supposed to give today. Because I have to speak to the hearts of the people. We believers, that is why Jesus said, watch and pray. What are you supposed to watch? You are supposed to watch all the prophetic light which has been given to us from the scriptures. That is why the prophecy yesterday we saw, it is like a lamp. The book of prophecy, the prophecy is like a lamp which shines in a dark place. So you are supposed to watch. What are you supposed to watch? TV? No. What are you supposed to watch? You are supposed to watch the things which are happening? No, you are supposed to watch the biblical prophecies connected to the Bible. You need to watch these incidents and wait. God has given you many channels to know those things. So we need to watch all the scriptural prophecies for our time. Because the Lord is going to come soon. The Lord is going to come soon. And we cannot be found naked, my brothers and sisters. If you are not a prayerful person, you are naked. If you are not meditating on the word of God, you are naked. If you don't spend your time in God's presence, then you are naked. If you are not aware of the times and seasons, then you are naked. Because you have not been clothed with the word of prophecy. We are the blessed generation that God has poured His Spirit upon us. So that we will know the things of the Bible. Knowing the things of the prophecy. Hallelujah. So God has told us. Now look at the 36th verse. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Can you all say with me always? Always. What is the meaning of always? I don't think you require any big grammar or interpretation for the word always. Now, always means whenever, even though you are busy in this world, whatever time you can allot for praying, this prayer is very, very important. This life of prayer, where God brings a protection around you. Without this prayer life, there will be no protection. Watch the prophecies and keep praying. Every day we need to watch what's happening. The incidents of the world, with all the things which are happening in the world, connected with the Bible. Watch everything. And then keep praying. It means your focus now should be that, Lord, when you come, I want to come with you. That should be the only focus. You may ask me, what about the life that I'm living? Pass your time on this earth. We are just passing our time. Don't try to build a kingdom. Pass your time. But watch the scriptures being fulfilled before our eyes and keep praying so that we will stand worthy before the Son of Man. See, what he's saying, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Who is the one who can escape? The person who is caught only has to escape. If you are not caught, then you don't need to escape. Right? When you are not in the pit, you don't need to come out. That's why the Lord said, escape. It means many are caught in this life. Many have already been inside. They are all in the net. But God's word can release us. God's word can remove the chains. Amen. Peter was arrested. He was put in chains. But an angel came. A light came. And Peter's chains fell away. The devil may try to hold you again. Keep on catching you. But you can come out. When we pray, the angel of God will come. Remove us from the chains. So now is the time. You need to escape All those believers you have backslided in your heart, all those have been caught by the world, caught by the sins of the world, whatever it may be, this is the time for you to escape. We need to stand worthy before the Son of Man. Amen. When you are a sinner, you have to come as a sinner, naked, broken. But to go in the rapture, we have to be worthy. You cannot sit down as a sinner. God is not coming for sinners. Jesus is coming for saints. He came for sinners once, 2,000 years back. He died for sinners. He gave us the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit will train us to become saints. And when we become saints, Jesus is coming for these saints. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When He's coming down, He has to look at Mrs. Jesus. Oh, He's coming for Mrs. Jesus. All who are Mrs. Jesus, that great magnet is coming and it will pull you home. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's go to the next scripture. Matthew 24. Matthew 24:42-44. Yes, brother, you can. Matthew 24:42-44.
Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think, not the Son of Man cometh.
Hallelujah. Amen. Watch therefore. Now, see, the first scripture that we read in Luke is for everybody. Believers. Now, this is especially for ministers, elders, pastors. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The Lord has not given us a time. We don't know which day He's coming. We don't know whether He's coming on a Wednesday or Sunday or Monday. And we don't know the time. We don't know whether He's coming morning 10 o'clock or night 10 o'clock or afternoon 12 o'clock. None of us know that. Right? This is something which God has hid. Because when it is 8:30 here, I think in America it must be about 7 in the morning or something. Right? There's a 12 hours difference. Now, so we don't know when the Lord is coming. Whether the time that the Lord appears, we don't know what time it will be in Singapore. We don't know what time it is going to be in India. We don't know what time it's going to be in France. And all the places where believers are, the Lord is coming for them at one time. So that's why the Lord is saying, watch. Now sometimes, he's saying the master of the house, the minister, the elders, the pastors who are ministering all over the world, they are the masters of the house. It means a minister should be aware of the time and season that he lives. If he himself is not aware of the things that are happening around biblically, how is he going to teach the people? That is why a man of God should be, the servant of God, should be so well versed with the times and seasons. And he's always keeping his eyes focused on the word so that he can preach to the people. You cannot be sleeping. Your soul cannot be sleeping, and then you cannot serve God. When your own soul is sleeping, you cannot serve God. You cannot serve the people. So he's saying, the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed this house. It means it's very, very important for us to know the times and seasons that we are living. Why does Bible open the truths about prophecies? Is because once you know about a prophecy, once you know about the things that are happening, you can prepare yourself well for the coming of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be in prayer. You know these things are happening and you can keep your mind focused on prayer. Now let's read one more scripture, because the master of the house, he's the head authority figure, right? So let's go to the next scripture, John chapter 10, from the 10th verse.
The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. Seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catches them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep. And I am known of mine.
Hallelujah. So Jesus, you cannot call Jesus as a thief. The Bible tells Jesus cometh like a, the day of the Lord cometh like a thief. Jesus doesn't come like a thief. But it says the day of the Lord cometh like a thief. It means, just in the time and season when the thief is going to enter and take all the church world into his hands, that is going to be the time when the Lord is actually coming. Bible tells Jesus is a bridegroom. So he cannot be a thief. You cannot compare Jesus to the thief. He has all rights on the sheep, right? So he's saying, if somebody is not a faithful servant, when the wolf comes, he will leave the sheep and run away. Now, the Lord is not just speaking these things just to prove that he's a good shepherd, but he's speaking these things to show what will be the time when the Lord comes. There are going to be many who will run away leaving the sheep. That is the reason the master of the house, that is the one who's taking care of the sheep, the pastor, the minister, the elders, whoever are taking care of the sheep, should have the spirit of the shepherd, should have the spirit of Jesus in them. So that they will never leave the flock and run away. So this is a warning. Because when the Lord is going to come, many who claim to be shepherds, many who claim to be ministers are going to run away. Because it's going to be a great day of judgment. It is not going to be an easy day. It is going to be the wrath of God. The day when the wrath of God is going to be poured. Grace has been given to us for 2,000 years. But when the time is closing down, now we know the wrath of God is going to be poured on this earth. All these 2,000 years, God has been forgiving. But the time has come that God's anger is going to fall upon this earth. We are living on those days. We are living in these days. And that is why the shepherd now has to be aware. The shepherd should have the heart of Jesus. The shepherd who leads the flock should have, whoever it may be, whoever wants to come and stand here and preach, they should preach with the heart of Jesus. Because times are going to be very hard. That's what we are going to see. We are going to see some things today. Let's go to... So I want to take you to one more scripture before I want to show something also so that you people will understand. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. We read the scripture yesterday. We'll read it again. 2 Peter chapter 1 and the 19th verse. 2 Peter chapter 1 and the 19th verse. We have also a most sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now we saw the scripture yesterday. We already saw the scripture, those scriptures which have warned us that we should not be too much indulged with the world, too much involved with the worldly things. But we need to watch and pray the scriptures. Watch and pray and watch the scriptures. Now it says, we have also a most sure word of prophecy. I told you again. Yesterday I told you and now I'm telling you again. We have also a most sure word of prophecy. Like Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Okay? Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. Now, watching the prophecies and heeding, it's obeying. You not just know the prophecies, but you obey. Like the book of Revelation says, chapter 1, and the third verse says, blessed is he, Revelation chapter 1 and 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Reading, hearing through the preaching, and keep those things which are written therein. It means you need to read this. Before you want to understand prophecy, you need to study the prophecy. Then, after reading, when it is there in your mind, you wait for it. Through the ministers of God, it is going to be expounded to you. And the third point is, you heed and keep those things which are written. See? Reading, hearing, and do those things. Praise be to God. Amen. Now, this prophecy, we have many things, especially when we say, in Peter we see, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whatever the Lord prophesied, or whatever the Lord has given a word of prophecy through His apostles, through His prophets, have perfectly come to pass. Now, one of the examples which I want to show is from Matthew 24. Now, I want Benita to operate the projector. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, 1 to 2. 1 to 2.
And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.
Okay. Now the Lord is taking these disciples, you know, taking the Lord to the temple. This is something the Lord had a prophetic talk with his disciples. And Jesus went to the temple and the disciples wanted to show him the buildings. You know, what it shows is Jesus was not so much interested in the outward temple. He has not gone there very often. So the disciples were very happy. They wanted to show the Lord the temple. Oh, what a beautiful temple. Just see. It was an outward temple. This temple is a temple built by Solomon. And in the time of Babylon, the temple was destroyed. And then it was rebuilt in the time of Zerubbabel. And after that, you know, for nearly 46 years, I think, 46 or 49 years. The temple was rebuilt and all the work was done. And finally, in Jesus' time, it was called as Herod's temple, because Herod had done a little decoration of the work. Now, this temple has had something special. These people, these disciples, the temple, outward temple, and saying, hey, don't look at all these outward things. See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. He said, there will not be one stone upon another. So this was a very, you know, nobody understood what actually the Lord said, but when we read the history and see the incidents which took place, it happened exactly as the Lord said. Now, after Jesus died, till 70 AD, it seemed that Jerusalem was all quiet. All the trouble was for the disciples. Everything was diverted on them. The Jews were killing the Christians. Whoever becoming Christian, and Jews were, the Christian Jews were really, the Jews who had converted to Christianity were really having a tough time. It all started from Stephen's death. It went on one by one, many disciples were being killed. And I think before 66 AD, mostly all the disciples, including Paul, Peter, everybody were killed. The only person who remained was John. And they tried to kill John, and John was put into a boiling pot of water, oil. And they wanted to, you know, boil him inside the oil. But by the grace of God, our dear John was kneeling down and praying inside. They said, oh my, what is this man? If we leave this man in Jerusalem, he will convert everybody. Because John was not ready to die. He was not ready to, you know, boil in the oil. Rather, he was praying. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm alive, he said. So they took him, put him in Patmos. And Patmos was a place where all the slaves were sent. Some were stone cutters, some were working. Some were, you know, supervisors for the, if you have a good rapport with the Roman soldiers, they may put you as a supervisor to the other slaves. They will take out your name and they will give you numbers. All these numbers started from Roman kingdom. And this was the condition. Now there were no disciples left. Already John was the only person and he was put in Patmos. Now, the army now comes to, that's what you read in 14 and 15, right? 15th verse. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. The 16th verse, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. A warning was already given by the Lord. He said, this temple is not going to stand. It is going to fall. And one stone upon stone will be removed. One by one, it is going to be removed and it will be thrown. Nobody believed him. Nobody believed the Lord. The apostles tried, preached. But the more they preached, the more they had to suffer in Jerusalem. So God saved John from the coming destruction. And the Lord took John and put him in Patmos and kept him safe. Because after 70 AD, John had to be the most important apostle and prophet who's going to be the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. So the Lord takes John away. And here the army comes. Now Titus comes. And suddenly Titus' father died, who was the emperor. And Titus had to go back and claim the title of emperor. And he comes back. And until that time, the army is waiting outside Jerusalem. The Lord already warned them, when you see the abomination, run away to the mountains. Nobody is ready to leave Jerusalem. The high priest, the priest, they are going on with their sacrifice, going on killing, slaughtering the lambs and bullocks. everything is going on normally, and the Roman soldiers are going around because Jerusalem was one place which was not conquered by Rome. They had a pact with the Romans. They said, we will give you all the taxes, more taxes we will give. Don't enter Jerusalem. So the priests had made a pact with the Roman politicians. And Jerusalem was something which Roman had not conquered. So they were all waiting like hungry wolves. Now, 69, more and more of army is surrounding Jerusalem. Nobody wants to move. Titus comes back, and in 70 exactly, the order is being given to destroy the temple and enter into Jerusalem. When they entered into Jerusalem, and all the proud priests and the people, oh, this is God's holy city, nobody is going to come inside. No one will come inside. They all were all waiting. But the Roman soldiers entered, broke down the wall, jumped up and went inside. And when you read Joseph's history, because he was one of the Jewish person who was writing for the Romans, the history. And he, when you read that, you see in that history how those Roman soldiers, like hungry lions and wolves, entered inside. When women are giving milk to their babies, they take the babies from the mother's breast and cut it in front of the mother's eyes. They cut the husbands. They kill the mothers before the children. They kill the children before the mothers. They rape women. And the priest, high priest, the priests are helpless. They say, we will run into the temple because an uncircumcised man cannot enter the temple. But the Roman soldiers ran inside the temple. And in that same altar where thousands and thousands of sheep and bullocks were being sacrificed day by day, they placed these priests on that. They cut all the priests. Some of the priests and the high priests ran into the most holy place. They said, the Romans cannot come here. But right, the Roman army went inside. The soldiers went inside because the Roman soldiers were like, you know, once they are released, they are demons in human form. They went right inside the most holy place, cut down the altars, cut all the women. The high priest, the priests were all killed inside the most holy place. Oh, what a time it was. And then they said, set fire to the temple. When they started to set fire to the temple, suddenly somebody is watching. Somewhere, gold is melting and coming out of the temple. And so now it's so difficult. Once the fire is, they have set ablaze the fire, it's hard to stop because the Roman soldiers are now like mad dogs moving around. So a special order was sent. They said, stop it, because gold is melting and coming. Then they found out, with every stone inside, along with the mortar, gold has been placed. So what they did, they stopped the work and told the soldiers to remove one stone after another, exactly like our Lord said. You see? They removed one stone after another, removing all the gold. One stone after another. The only remains today is the western wall which we see in Jerusalem. Rest, everything was completely destroyed. Oh, blessed be the name of God. When God speaks a word, it will come to pass. Exactly as He has said. Nothing will change. That is the reason we need to watch prophecies. We need to watch the things which are happening. Hallelujah. You're with me? Now, I'm going to continue a little more. Okay. Let's go to 2 Peter, chapter 3, from the 9th verse to the 12th verse.
The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
The question is, we'll come to the elements, but one thing we know, that God is going to keep fire to this earth. In Noah's time, he baptized the earth with water. In our days, he's going to baptize the earth with fire. Right? But the point is, will it be before the rapture or will it be after the rapture? I cannot predict these things exactly, but one thing I know, some things will happen before the rapture as a forewarning to those who are going into great tribulation. Some of the destruction we will see before the rapture as a sign that whatever we have preached is true. Because we are living in a time like Jeremiah. The difference between the other prophets and Jeremiah is that the other prophets prophesied for a long season of time. They prophesied for the future. But Jeremiah saw some of his prophecies being fulfilled before his very own eyes. He prophesied the king of the north will come, Babylon will come, Babylon came. He said they will take the king, the kings will be slave, the king will be slave, his family will be slave. They took them slave. And Jeremiah was a witness for it. So we are living in the time like a Jeremiah, when all that we have preached, we have prophesied, we see some of the things being fulfilled before our eyes. That is what will boost up our faith before the rapture. Because before the rapture, there will come a faith, a boosting up of your faith.
Amen.
You see? And these are the things. What we see, what we read, what we speak, when we speak, we know that's going to happen. It will happen before our eyes.
Amen.
So, some of the things will happen before our eyes. Now, let's come to one more scripture. Hebrews chapter 12 and 29. It says, for our God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, you know all these people, the people who know the Bible, all these people who have made technology, America, Europe, and all these people who say they are Christian nations, they know the Bible. So God made a covenant with Noah. The Lord said, I will not destroy the earth with water anymore. So people continued to sin. They said, okay, God is not going to destroy the earth with water anymore. But God only told that He will not destroy the earth with water. He never said He will not destroy the earth. Right? He never said He will not destroy the earth with fire. He said He will destroy the earth. He will not destroy the earth with water. So fire should come down from heaven. Now how is the fire going to come down from heaven? I was thinking about it for a long time until 2 Peter the 3rd chapter, the 9 and 11th verse hit my eyes. Now let's go back to that same chapter, 2 Peter chapter 3 and the 10th verse says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. When it says elements, Maybe, I don't know what was Peter, what was in Peter's mind. Maybe he was thinking some of the planet will melt, because in their times they did not have the signs which we are having today. What was in his mind, he doesn't know. He didn't know to put it in words. He just said elements, because all the elements are taken from earth. So something which is made from, which are part of the earth, which is made, it is going to all the works. He's saying all the works. Watch this. All the works, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. It means there are some work which men have made. Man has created something which God will turn it against them. And the only elements which came to my mind are these satellites. Okay? What I'm saying now, you people need to take it. This satellite, to be light, it is made out of aluminium, titan. And, you know, there is something, it is covered. Yeah, it's made with aluminium so that it is weightless to be pushed up in the sky. And this is also the main thing which is used for it. Finally, everything is taken from iron, right, and separated. Steel, aluminium, all these things have been used to make this. And from where has these things come? This has been taken out from the earth. So now the Lord is saying, now Peter is saying, the earth and all the elements that are on the earth, the works shall be burnt. Now if you watch, we were going through some video where we saw how to operate the video. Yeah. You just see the satellites which have been sent from 1957. You just look at their condition now today. Now, till 2016, this is actually the condition of the earth. They will always tell us that everything is fine, but things are not fine. There are so much of debris, there are space accidents which happen, which doesn't come on main media news. Once the time of the satellite is over, nobody is going to monitor the satellite anymore. They just leave it just like that in space. And now there is so much of debris in space that they, even if they think, they cannot clean it. Because man was only interested to set them up. And through these satellites, they have nearly started to, they have completely covered the earth. And they are controlling the earth. All the technology world that we have is all because the base is satellites. So sometimes there are accidents. And you know, in space, there is no speed limit. When two crash happens, it splits into multiple particles. And just like dust particles are around, the whole space is filled with debris, dust. Now this is where it hit me. I said, some of the days, this has to catch fire. These are things which are part of the earth, and it has to return back to the earth. Hallelujah. What belongs to earth will come back to earth. This is where the Lord is going to send His fire. Now we know there are comets, right? Shooting stars which are coming close to the earth. Some of the shooting stars come and it has fallen down in the earth. But some of these days, one of these days, something is going to hit this space debris. Because God is telling very clearly the elements shall melt. And what is the only way for the elements to melt? All these things which have been sent up by man is going to melt because it is going to catch fire.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Now, I think some of you may be thinking, is this possible? It is possible with the Lord. This is what I believe. I believe this very strongly. God has to clean up the earth. Now see, John also tells us something about that. 1 John, the book of 1 John, 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you believe all the satellites which has been sent up is works of the devil, or is it work of God? Just give me an answer. It is human wisdom. But is it work of the devil or is it work of God? Any knowledge which has gone against this world of satellite is like an intellectual Babel today, which has gone up to the sky. They have taken their knowledge up till the sky. Now man went to moon, now they want to go to Mars. This knowledge is not from God. This knowledge is from the devil. You can use it for whatever necessary needs for good purposes. But ultimately everything that man has created, because NASA, they don't believe in God. All that they have been building, their spaceships and everything, it is they deny God. They are against God. And all these works are the works of the devil. It means the Son of Man came to destroy the works of the devil. That is why Peter is saying all the elements shall melt. One day it is going to melt. Today it is there. But I believe when the time comes, closer to the Lord's coming, it will all melt and it will fall down. Whatever has been stolen from this earth will be given back to the earth. That is why Peter is telling, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And that is going to come to man's own wisdom. God is going to use man's own wisdom, turn it into fire and send it towards him. Oh, blessed be the name of God. Let us read the book of Peter. Once again, let us read 2 Peter. Chapter 3 and the 11th verse. Seeing then all these things. See, 10th verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Any works which is not part of God will be burnt up. 1,000 years, the millennium is going to be a time of peace where man is going to live with nature, just like the time of Adam. You are not going to see any of man's work here on this earth. It has to be destroyed. And this is going to turn as fire. This will melt. And it will hit the earth in the coming days. So, this is what I understood. I pray that God will open your eyes to see this. Okay, now let's go to the next portion of watching some of the prophecies. I want to speak on Californian earthquake, which we all know. We know that Los Angeles is going to go under the sea. This was a prophecy of Brother Branham, one of the major prophecy of Brother Branham. And in this prophecy, the point now is, again, whether we are going to see this happen before our eyes or whether this is going to be after the rapture. Some of the believers, I think there was one believer, one brother, who's in San Francisco. He went on asking me, "Brother, what do you think? Will Los Angeles go under the sea?" The problem was they are still living in that belt, in that area. So I said, "Brother, I don't know. I'm not your father. I'm not your blood relative. I cannot force you to come out of that country. But one thing I know, some portion of it, 100% we are going to see." After I read Brother Branham's prophecy as a young boy, I studied it. For the past 15 years, I don't know, the words have been coming in my mouth that Hollywood, wherever I go, I preach this. Hollywood, Bollywood, Collywood, Tollywood, Nollywood, all are wood. The fire of God will come and burn down all the wood. I went on saying this for 15 years. And in Kenya, when I was preaching in Kenya 2024, when I was preaching the message, "Blow the Trumpet," I spoke about Californian earthquake and many other earthquakes related to the Bible. And I told them, I made this statement, and it is there recorded in their YouTube channel. I said, "Hollywood, Bollywood, Collywood, Tollywood, all are wood. The fire of God will come and burn them." In 2025, January 1st week, we all could see that before our eyes. How many houses, how many things got burned down? This is only the beginning of the coming judgment. This is not the end. Now, Brother Brenner made the statement, in 1 hour's time, you will go, you will become nothing. And as I was going through the scripture, I found there is a scripture. The book of Revelation chapter 18. Book of Revelation chapter 18. You know, the book of Revelation chapter 18 has a twofold prophecy. This prophecy, one is for Rome and the other one is for America. This is a twofold prophecy. You can take this for Rome. You can also take this for America. First, the thing is happening because we know the first beast of Revelation 11, the first beast and the second beast are connected together. The second beast is building an image for the first beast. So this twofold prophecy is for Rome and for America. Now this is speaking about about the American prosperity, how the land was full of prosperity, but what has happened? Now when you watch the 10th verse, yes brother, you may read the 10th verse.
"Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come."
So when Brother Branham made a statement, in 1 hour, you will go down into the sea, there is a scriptural backing for that. It is there in the Bible. In 1 hour's time, your judgment will come. So, now the point is, how far will this prophecy get fulfilled before the rapture? Now, in the seven visions of Brother Branham, all of you who have read it, I don't want to go through all of that, but the seventh vision is America will become, America will go down. It will become a land, debris, smoke, and craters. He said, before the coming of the Lord, this seventh vision will get fulfilled. Only after all the visions are fulfilled, the Lord is going to come. So we are living nearly in the sixth vision now. Very close to the sixth vision. Now the seventh vision, that when I turned and saw America was full of smoke. Now we already saw a little part of smoke. This is one of the fulfillment of the prophecy. Now, if America has to go under the sea, then I believe if it is going to be destroyed, the bride should witness the prophecy being fulfilled. Now, I have a scripture backing for what I'm saying. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Chapter 19, 28.
And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace.
Now, before Abraham could receive the promised son, Abraham saw the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Before the bride will receive the rapturing son, she has to see the destruction of today's Sodom and Gomorrah. See? The Lord sealed the promise in Abraham. By next year, you will have a son. And we all know that is the time of his transformation. The period when Abraham, from an old man, is turning back into a young man. When he received this promise, after he received the promise, before the promise could get fulfilled, he saw Sodom and Gomorrah becoming ashes. So I believe this Californian, Los Angeles, whatever destruction is coming, the church, we will see a part being fulfilled. Because this will be, that is why when the prophecies are being fulfilled, these are the times that your faith will be boosted. You know, yes, these things are happening. Now I need to get ready to meet the Lord face to face. You got it? So, now when you see the Californian earthquake, the time, you know, the tectonic plates, you people must be knowing about it, are slowly breaking under the sea. They're saying it is nearly 1,500 miles. The whole piece of land is going to go inside the water. And already some portion of Los Angeles is already going inside the sea, little by little. Every day. Every day there is shaking. Every day some piece of land is going inside. Now we don't know how long it will take before the whole thing goes inside. But under the sea, the tectonic plates are being slowly, it's being moved. When I was in the Philippines, you know, I was in Santa Ana in 2023. That is straight, that's connected to the Pacific. The Philippine sea gets connected to the Pacific. That season, you will not believe me, I was there for 25 days. I nearly encountered 40 earthquakes. In 25 days, I saw 40. It came to a time, like you know, in the night times when I go to sleep, suddenly there is a shaking. So I get up, I got so used to it, I get up in the night, I say, oh, it's an earthquake. And I'm all alone sleeping up in the first floor. I said, oh, it's an earthquake. Then I go back to sleep. 40 times So it means imagine what shaking is going on under. People are not aware. People still want to continue in sin. They don't want to repent. All this destruction is because of sin. Why should God become angry? It is all because of sin. So very soon, before the rapture, we will be a witness of this destruction. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now let's go to one more thing before I finish. Let's go to Psalms 83. We all know that now Israel has been having trouble with the 10 nations which are around. So you read Psalms 83, brother, with from the fourth verse.
They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites.
Now, Edom is the present. I've tried to figure out all the present names which have been given in Psalms 83. So I try my best to give the correct version. Human beings, we can always make a small mistake. I don't know. But Edom means the Palestinians and southern Jordanians. Okay? They are Edomites. Okay. The next. Ishmaelites.
And the Ishmaelites.
They are Saudi.
Of Moab.
Palestinians and central Jordan.
And the Hagarians.
They are actually called Egyptians because they came out from Hagar. But they are like people who they live in the eastern part of Israel, mostly in the desert. The nomadic tribes. Okay? So they are called as Hagarites. Okay, next.
Gebal.
Gebal means Hezbollah and northern Lebanon. That is called as Gebal. Okay.
And Ammon?
Ammon is Palestinians and northern Jordan.
And Amalek?
Amalek is the Arabs of the Sinai area.
The Philistines?
Philistia is Hamas of the Gaza Strip.
With the inhabitants of Tyre?
Tyre means Hezbollah and southern Lebanese.
Assur?
Okay, Assyria, right? Assur and Assyria. Syrians and the northern Iraq. Praise the Lord, brother. So these are the 10 countries. So all the names, the old names, now we have given you the new names. They are the 10 nations which are actually pressurizing Israel. Now already Brother Gann has spoken about Ezekiel 38. But I just want to give my version of whatever study I have made. Already according to the fourth verse, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. Ayatollah Khamenei, the spiritual leader of Iran, you know, he made a statement that we are going to take Israel out of the map. You will not find the map of Israel. Now look exactly the word, how it gets fulfilled. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. And here the Muslim leader says, the Iran leader, spiritual leader says, Israel will not be in the map. The scripture is exactly being fulfilled. And these 10 nations are being used by them. They are in the background. And they are using them to bring pressure to Israel. But what will happen? In this war of 83, Psalms 83, Israel is going to win. Because God is with them. Amen. Why I have to mention 83 is, this is also some of the things which are happening in our times. Amen. And we are a witness. We are a witness for what is happening in the Bible. The Bible is being fulfilled. The scriptures are being fulfilled. Look at this, how the Lord is saying, the 12th verse. Who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as a stubble before the wind. As the fire burneth the wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. They can never win Israel. And the 18th verse says, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. It means all these 10 nations will know that Jehovah is the most high. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So now what happens? When in Psalms 83, they are not able to win the war. Now is the time for Russia to come in. They will want Russia to come inside. Okay, so let's go to Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38. Yes, brother. 1, 2, 6.
Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O God, Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee about and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses, and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee.
Praise the Lord. Now some of the names are given here. We know Gog. Gog means the symbol of pride. Magog means the people of the symbol of pride. And then Meshach is the old name for Moscow. Tubal is Tublistan, which is in part of Russia. So the scripture is very clear. Now all the Jewish rabbis, all the Jewish people, the politicians, they know Ezekiel 38 is pointing out to Russia. And everyone are waiting, because this is one of the prophecy which has not been fulfilled in the church ages. And especially Ezekiel lived nearly 600 years before Jesus. So I should say this prophecy, it was prophesied nearly 2600 years before. And we are living in a time when this prophecy is going to be fulfilled before our eyes. And we are going to be a witness for it. Now Meshach is Moscow, Tubal is Tublistan. And it says, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, of O Gog, and the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Now the Lord is saying, the fourth verse is speaking that the Lord is putting hooks into their jaws and pulling them. It means God Himself is going to be the reason for this war. Because God wants to prove something. God wants to prove that He's with Israel. This is going to be the most important war, after which the grace will turn towards Israel. That is why we are supposed to watch this prophecy. And it is going to happen in our times. The fifth verse is Persia. This also I tried to figure out the original names. All the names for today. Persia is Iran. Ethiopia remains the same from the biblical times. Libya is the same. These are all Muslim countries. Then you have Gomer. Some of the Jewish rabbis, they say Gomer is Germany. The old name for Germany is Gomer. Okay, now Germany also had a... How did Germany come over here? Once upon a time, Hitler's regime was destroyed by Russia. But how come Germany is supporting Russia now? That's what is politics. That's what is Satan's plan. You know, in politics, you fight today and tomorrow you become friends. So they are all fighting against Israel. These are the nations which have come against Israel. Then the house of Togarma means, some people say that it is Turkey. So when you look at all these things, we know before the rapture, I think this is going to be a very important prophecy which we all have to watch. I believe after this Ezekiel battle, there is no more going to be time. Somewhere in the period of time, when the battle of Ezekiel is going on, that is the time I believe the Lord is going to come. Yes. I'm not telling this. I have also had a talk with Brother Gann regarding this prophecy. And we have shared many things about this. So what I believe very strongly, this is going to be the last portion of prophecy. And that is going to be the time when the Lord is going to come. Because now they are coming one by one. The Arabian nations are trying to fight and make a war. But these prophecies, this Ezekiel battle is going to be the last. And after that, when, according to Daniel, when the Antichrist will make a covenant, he is going to renew the covenant with the nations. If some of us are there to watch this covenant being made, I believe those people are going to be left out. Those people are the left out people. You should not be here to see the covenant being made. So right when the battle of Ezekiel is going to end, before that season, somewhere around that season, the Lord will come and take His people. Blessed be the name of God. I think I've taken more time, but I just need to finish it because this is my last Sunday preaching here. Thank you for your patience. Go home and meditate and pray. If you have not understood some things, pray to the Lord. If you have some questions regarding what I preached, you are free to ask me. More clarification will be given. But one thing I wanted to tell today is watch and pray. What are you going to watch? Watching all the prophecies that are being fulfilled before our eyes and preparing ourselves to meet the Lord. Because Jesus is coming quickly. Hallelujah.